Okay, does everyone hear me okay? I guess I'll have to tell the truth then, huh? Good morning, I'm Lewis Baumhart, and I spoke at the Cover Crops Symposium last year, and I had mentioned that with semi-arid climates that it's a little difficult to get that to work so well, and that we've been able to achieve essentially the same benefits of a cover crop using residue management during fallow. I'd like to revisit that with you so that you can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about doing and how we're also kind of factoring this in with deficit irrigation. I want to recognize my co-authors, Robert Schwartz and Paul Calazzi, have been real helpful on getting this study to go on. Okay, in the southern and central Great Plains, the rainfall or the precipitation will provide, maybe during the growing season, will provide somewhere between a third to a half of the water required to meet the crop's demand for evapotranspiration. That's why we irrigate. And most of that water is drawn from the Ogallala Aquifer. Now, just about the south side of Nebraska, you could say the Ogallala is non-recharging. And the end result is water drawn from the Ogallala means the saturated thickness goes down, the water table goes down, the pumping capacity goes down, and where it is more acute, there's actually regulations being developed. They're actually worried that we'll run out of water, which is exactly what could happen. It's unsustainable if it has no recharge. So, producers, bankers also, are considering what to do next. You irrigate less land. That's simple enough. It also causes more interest in crop rotations. Now I'm showing here the wheat sorghum fallow rotation. It's where we can grow two crops in 3 years. I've plotted here as a kind of a clock. There's a radial plot of rainfall per month that goes from 0 to 75 millimeters. But starting with wheat, we planted in October in our area, and it can be harvested after the spring rains helps it a little bit to, you know, in July. So wheat is, or that ground is then fallowed, left idle anyway, until we can plant our next crop, which would be a summer crop. Now I've got sorghum here, but it could be corn, it could be cotton. Now in the third year, we plant no crop, and that's why we call it the fallow year. But it allows us an opportunity to store water in the soil for subsequent crop use. Now our goal or objectives in this study were to compare the soil water storage during that fallow period using either disc or no-till residue management. Now I know this benefit is going to carry forward into the growing season of the summer crop, so we're also going to compare the corn and cotton water use for either of those tillage treatments and for deficit irrigation, because as the water goes down in the Ogallala, you have less water to pump. And then ultimately we're going to compare those irrigation effects on yield. So the two fallow treatments are going to be disc tillage and no tillage. We're using a tandem disc it's about 10 centimeters. No tillage, usually soil active herbicides. We'll use contacts when necessary. The two irrigation rates here are 25 and 50 millimeters. They represent what you would see 2 gallons to 4 gallons per minute per acre. Or to put it another way, the 2 gallons per minute, that's a puny well at best, and I've seen around Lubbock where they're tying two wells to hit that. 4 gallons per minute. It's not a banger, but it's a reasonable well. And you can find those still in Kansas. If you want to grow corn, you're going to need 2 of those big wells, probably. Experimental. The corn and cotton crops, we're planting an alternate crop, which is supposedly more water use efficient. These were planted in 75 centimeter rows at the regular populations there, maybe a little on the conservative side. Of course, we measured our rainfall on the site using a standard rain gauge. We measured during the growing season of the summer crop soil water biweekly using Neutron Probe. And nearby, like 500, maybe 300 meters away, a weather station had the necessary weather parameters for calculating the evapotranspiration, the reference to evapotranspiration. That was used for the crop ET estimate. And then, of course, we measured yields with hand samples. Lots of hand samples, because variability was killing us. So, what did we discover? In this 4-year test, I've got our soil water conservation data for the 2 tillage treatments, a fallow precipitation, and our wheat straw here. I would say our precipitation ranged from about half of what you normally expect during a fallow to maybe 25% more than what you would expect for a fallow period. Those 2 years, 2006 and 2007, the soil water storage difference between disc and no tillage were the same, about 30 millimeters. Now, I've got the wheat straw numbers here at the bottom, and you can see it increases in 2007, 8, and 9, as does the water that was conserved from 30 through 80 millimeters. That being said, yes, residue helps increase water conservation. Sometimes a lot of this is just in the timing. I mean, if you get a rain just before you're finishing out your fallow, that's water you have stored. You know, and while residue is great to slow that evaporation down, it's not a panacea. I mean, look at 2007, where we had over 500 millimeters of precipitation and only boosted our storage 30 millimeters with the residue. Now, the overall average was 50 millimeters stored water difference between no-till and disc-till. That's great. I would have expected about double that, but it's a short experiment. Let's move on to deficit irrigation. Now, this is corn water use plotted on the ordinate as a function of days after planting. And you can see for the 2.5 millimeter per day irrigation rate, we were nowhere near what that crop would potentially use. And really, that's why I'm amazed people get dryland corn to work. Spend more time in church, I suppose. Little humor there. The 5 millimeter per day irrigation rate was great to meet the crop water demand through tasseling. Then this crop went off the tracks. In 2006, it's representative of most of those years. And while we had approximately in aggregate a 70% of ET requirement applied, the yields would reflect much poorer performance. Now, this is the water use as a function of fire irrigation and tillage and the interaction. Since we were applying more water at the higher irrigation rate, it's no surprise that it used more water. And that's about on par with the 150 millimeters difference in application. The interaction term's really the one we have to focus on, and the benefit for tillage was a little bit greater for no-till versus disc-till at your lower irrigation rate. Kind of dissipates for the higher irrigation. In part, that's because you have a declining benefit of that residue as the corn canopy grows taller and closes. Now, our yields illustrate clearly, you know, we have some bad yields. These are like from zero, a crop failure, up to 7 megagrams per hectare, which was kind of a cool wet year, actually. Generally speaking, the no-till treatment resulted in numerically greater or significantly greater yield than did the distill. There was no interaction, but again, I'm thinking our yield benefit with the tillage is good, but only one time did the residue at the low irrigation level achieve a yield that was, you know, consistent with or possibly greater than, or it's numerically greater than the higher irrigation level without the residue. Moving on to cotton, I've got the 2006 again. It's representative, and you can see for the calculated ETC plotted on the ordinate that we're actually the 5 millimeter per day irrigation rate exceeded what this crop really needed. Now, if you have the lower irrigation rate and no tillage of residue management, you actually were pretty good to meet the crop water demand. Now, the question of why is there a difference in tillage for the distill, I'm guessing really what it was, the plants were a little bit smaller, you never got the canopy closure, and the end result was that the residue actually was a bigger player. Now I'm going to skip on to the yields here. Irrigation yields weren't that much different for those different rates than the you know, for either levels, in part because we were pretty much matching up with what the crop needed, or exceeding it at the higher irrigation level. Also notice the no-till was always significantly greater than for the distill yields. And the part I liked the best was that our 2.5 millimeter per day irrigation with residue management was numerically greater than the higher irrigation rate for distill. So residue is a wonderful thing for redirecting evaporation, not from the soil, but through the crop. It's kind of like putting gasoline through the engine because it'll push yourself in the car further. Let me summarize. In this study, what we basically show is that no tillage residue cover was increasing our soil water conservation during fallow. Wasn't as much as I had hoped. The residue, that benefit of controlling or reducing evaporation continues through the growing season of the summer crop. Was a lot better really for the cotton than it was for the corn. This shows again basically that the corn needs a lot more water than we were applying. You need not 5 millimeters per day, you need 8 millimeters per day to cover the last part of the from tassel to maturity. And you saw the yields, they were kind of poor whenever you don't meet the water demand. Cotton, on the other hand, uses less water. I think our ETC was calculated at 550 for the cotton. ETC for the same year for corn was 20% higher. So cotton's better selection where you have less irrigation water available. And with residue, you may actually be able to achieve your optimum yields. Now, the difference in the amount of water applied for the bare soil no-till, bare soil cotton versus the no-till cotton, the savings or competition or similarity in yields, I mean, that was achieved or would offset of five irrigations totaling a difference of 125, 150 millimeters. So if a person is trying to grow a cover crop, as long as they are somewhat below that, they could get the same benefit. It's just we're already managing residue. Let's take advantage of it. I'd like to go ahead then and conclude that with our no-till residue management, we reduce the evaporation, and that continues not only through fallow but also through the growing season. You get more efficient water use because you're getting this water through the plant. It's transpiring. And this is what improves our water use efficiency and productivity and crop yields. So residue is a wonderful thing. And may I entertain any questions? Well, that is great. Yes, sir.
So, Lewis, I'm just trying to relate this to cover crops a little bit more closely. If you were to put cover crops into your fallow period, would that increase or decrease your residue?
If I were using a cover crop, I wouldn't be in a rotation that would have a fallow period. I would be planting this, say, after I harvested my cotton. Cotton comes off in November, December. I put in my cover crop at that time, maybe wheat. Probably would have to splash it to get it to go, maybe once more to push it. And it would look like, to me, from this data, that as long as you're irrigating a couple times for 25 to 50 millimeters, you won't take a hit on your water. It's just that right now, with the developing regulations on irrigation, I see more people going towards rotations anyway. They need to be able to either move this water spatially or temporally from their fallow period over to their summer crop. Not many folks are irrigating wheat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.